countdown begins for a large European bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. G20 finance ministers met in Paris over the weekend, and they came up with a plan for European leaders to come up with a credible idea to solve the debt crisis in 1 week. Reporter Christopher Worth has more now from London.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner left the meeting saying Europe's plan has all the right elements, but he essentially said the devil will be in the details. That includes how to magnify the strength of the bailout fund from roughly $600 billion now to what some reports indicate could be somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 trillion. Geithner favors using the power of the European Central Bank to backstop European banks and limit the damage from bad Greek debt. But Carsten Brzeski of ING says European leaders aren't willing to go that far.
If you had the firepower of the ECB, it would probably be the most convincing instrument. But right now, I think there is still so much opposition from the ECB, from the German government, to allow it.
Another option being discussed is giving a bigger role to the International Monetary Fund. Whatever the plan looks like in the end, the most important thing is whether the financial markets see it as going far enough. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
To China now, where two top executives at Walmart have stepped down, including the CEO of Walmart China. The resignations come a week after authorities in one Chinese city closed several stores for food labeling violations. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports reaction is mixed over there on whether Walmart deserved the punishment or whether the government is unfairly targeting the retailer.
The city of Chongqing, population 32 million, has 13 Walmart stores. Every one of them was shut down for mislabeling pork as organic. Political analysts called the crackdown politically motivated. Chongqing's party chief will likely be promoted to China's top leadership next year, and its hacking a foreign company usually garners public support in China. Business analysts disagree.
China's been arresting both executives of Chinese companies as well as foreign companies, so this is not just a foreign attack.
Sean Ryan is the author of the book The End of Cheap China. Ryan says Walmart's been sloppy in China. Its biggest mistake, he says, is the company hasn't changed its strategy for China. Walmart recently reported a quarterly loss at its 350 stores there.
Western brands cannot compete with Chinese companies on price. It doesn't work. Chinese companies will always be able to be cheaper.
Analysts in China say Walmart should switch gears and focus on wealthy consumers. With two top positions in China now vacant, now might be the time to do that. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher right now. Europe's up by about 1%. A big natural gas pipeline deal is in the works. Kinder Morgan says it's going to buy El Paso Corporation to create America's biggest pipeline operator. It's a near $21 billion deal, one of the biggest corporate deals of the year. Wall Street Friday, markets rose on good retail sales news. The Dow tacked on 166 points to close at 11,644. For the week, all major markets were up. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 had their best weekly showings in more than 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Just 2 weeks from today, on October 31st, the United Nations says the world's population on that day will top 7 billion. The majority of growth has come from countries in Africa, along with places such as Afghanistan and Pakistan. But some countries aren't growing like they used to. And that's the subject of our quiz this morning from Stefan Richter at TheGlobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
In 1950, the global fertility rate was 5 children per woman.
All right.
At that time, not a single country in the world had a birth rate below 2 children per woman, which is what's called the replenishment rate.
Right.
At this time, how many countries have a fertility rate of less than 2 children per woman, meaning that they don't keep their own population at a stable level? Just one, Japan. B, a dozen or so in Europe. The third one is 25, and all of them would be in developed countries, or is it over 60 countries these days?
I would say of less than 2 children per woman, I would say D, over 60.
You are becoming a great quiz answer master, and I have to study up and come up with tougher ones. You're absolutely on target.
Yeah, I will tell you, Stefan, I will tell you how I know that, though, because I remember certainly European countries are not procreating as much as they used to, and here in the United States as well.
But you know what the good news is? This trend is going to continue into the future as we hear all about, you know, moving towards 7 billion of the global population level. Forecasts of the UN Population Division are that by 2030, so just in another 20 or so years, 86 countries will be below replacement level. And importantly, it will be such countries as China, Brazil, Indonesia, and Russia.
Yeah.
A few large countries are still blowing up the global population, namely India, Nigeria,
That's
Pakistan,
right.
and the Philippines. You know, we are making some progress in terms of history to move down to a more stable population level. So there's some good news in that and less stress on global resources and all the like.
And on our way to 7 billion people very soon.
You and me and all the rest.
And all the rest. All right, Stefan Richter from The Globalist. Stefan, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, the economy might be in the tank for a lot of companies, but one firm in Australia has seen quite a bounce lately. Sales at A1 Rubber are up 35% since 2005, and they're building warehouses all over the place. Why the surge? At first, the company made rubber sidewalk matting made from recycled tires for bars and restaurants to soften the sound of beer kegs clanging to the sidewalks there. But now, many of those same pubs are buying the matting to save those who overindulge from hurting themselves. A lot of clubs are even installing the matting inside, around the dance floor. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Exercise can be a really good way to take your mind off things, de-stress about downsizing.
Running is something that I didn't have so much trouble succeeding at. My hard work paid off, which my hard work did not pay off at a lot of my jobs.
I'm Khan Rizdal. Exercise, unemployment, and getting back on your feet. It's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.